of jerseys at the first service, and for some people, for some reason, a lot of people felt called to worship God last Saturday night, and we're glad that you're here. You know, competition is a great thing on so many levels. My wife, in particular, she loves sports, sports fanatic. I like basically watching football, and of course, the Hawks. Now, I have two daughters. They've played all sorts of sports, lacrosse, you name it, swim. But they've also received other awards. I have my youngest daughter goes to Skyline. My oldest daughter goes to Bellevue Christian. And now, what award at Bellevue Christian do you think the pastor's daughter might win? The Bible Department Award. Yeah. Not to brag, but it is her second year in a row. We're hoping for a three-peat this year. Now, you might say, okay, hey, that's sort of a, you know, yeah, I would figure that, the Bible Award and all of that. When we come to the Bible, for some of us, it can be intimidating. It could be, hey, I was raised in an environment where this was such a holy book. It was for a select few, and I really don't feel qualified to really get too deep into the Bible. It's great to hear what you have to say on the weekend, but not much beyond that. Others of us, we were raised where, hey, you know, the Bible was just not really a big deal at all. I mean, in fact, maybe you didn't believe the Bible. My family, we didn't even have a Bible growing up, which is surprising because you can get them for free from a hotel. And we had like lots of other stuff from hotels, just to let you know. We had a whole set of towels from Holiday Inn. But, you know, we really weren't all that much into the Bible. Now, as a pastor, obviously I've come to know Jesus, and the Bible's taken an important place in my life. And here's a reason well beyond what I do up here. As I look at people's lives, those who have a spiritual life that I want to emulate, that I find really appealing, it's people who not only really believe the Bible, but they use the Bible to help guide them in their life. And so what I want to do today is a little different. If you've just been coming the last month or so, today's message is going to be quite a bit different. I'm going to teach through some basic principles when it comes to the Scripture, and then how we can get the most out of the Bible. I had realized it had been over 5 years since I'd done a message like this. The first part will be real similar. If any of you remember what I said 5 years ago, you need a little bit more going on in your life is what you need. And but the last part, I'm going to take a different tact as I look at how to get the most out of the Bible. Will you take your outline out of your program? For those of you who are watching online, you can download that. By the way, pretty cool. Next weekend, we're going to be going live simulcast. We've been doing recording of our Saturday night service at our two other campuses, and it will be live simultaneous next weekend in Duval, and then we're going to adjust service times in Issaquah. So we're really excited about that. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. Now let's stop right there. All Scripture is God-breathed. There's a statement there, and we're going to look at it. Scripture makes a statement about itself. It says, this, what you find here, is not just a good writing, it's not just an inspired philosophy, but that God was in the construction of this, that God really spoke through human authors. Well, that you can have true information, but it's not always helpful. Well, we read this, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, my contention is this. The first and most important decision you make is whether you're going to follow Jesus Christ and allow him to be the leader and Lord of your life. And the second is, what are you going to do with the Bible? Are you going to really follow what the Scripture says? Or is that just going to be a helpful guide that you may or may not really grab a hold of? Well, some of us are on the more skeptical perspective. And for those of us who are really from that perspective, I want to look at why accepting the Bible is a step of faith, not a leap of faith. I really believe to accept the Scripture as the inspired Word of God, it is a step of faith, but it's not a leap. And I want to look at six really good reasons, there's more than this, on why we find that to be true. The first one is the internal evidence. The Bible makes a claim, as I said before, that it is God's Word, and J.B. Phillips, great philosopher, theologian, he said there's just a ring of truth to the Bible. For example, this one. Does this sound true? The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. True or untrue? Okay. True or untrue? True, yeah, okay. Speak the whole truth and tell it in love. Hard to do, but it's good. It's true. In your time of need, it's better to go to a neighbor nearby than a relative who lives far away. Is that true? Sometimes it's just better to skip the relatives no matter how close they live. And Proverbs 21:19. Better to live on the corner of your roof than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you. Yeah, but you look at that and you see, hey, there's just a lot of truth in there. In fact, I know people who have taken this. One man I know in particular, he took the book of Proverbs and said, you know, I'm going to start living my life accordingly. Amazing what God did. There's also textual integrity. Now, a legitimate question that we can have is this Bible we have today the same Bible? Does it really represent what we find 2,000 years ago? Well, there's manuscript evidence, and hold on, you're going to have to think a little bit on this. Manuscript evidence is really a big deal. If you take from antiquity some of the most famous works, for example, Homer's Iliad, there's 643 early copies. That's considered really some of the best manuscript evidence for that work that you would find. Now, go back to the Bible, and you'll find 5,466 complete manuscripts and another 15,000 that are incomplete. So manuscript evidence, it's like, yeah, there's nothing better attested to from ancient literature that the Bible we have today is a real Bible. Well, there is a legitimate question, hey, were there any variants in it? Because obviously, you know, as people copy, there can be mistakes. What would happen is monastic communities would get together and they would painstakingly copy the Bible. If there was one word that was wrong, they would throw away that piece of paper. They would count the letters in each word. If there was one more letter, they would throw it away. They would count the words on the page. If there was one or less word, they would throw it away. They would check the middle letter of the middle word on the page, and if there was an error, they would throw it away. This is like a dream job for someone with OCD. It really is. And they would do that. And do we find any variants? Yeah, about 400. So in the Bible, there's about 400 minor variants. Not one changes any basic theological principle in any way whatsoever. So we know the Bible we have is really the Bible. Another evidence is a unified message. Now think about this. The Bible was written by 40 human authors over 1,500 years, and yet the message remains very consistent. Every once in a while, I will hear from people, well, the Bible contradicts itself. And I'm like, oh, really? Tell me. And if you read it, you'll find, yeah, it can seem like it, but if you really knew the Bible, you'd say, no, it's really unified. That God is just and holy, and God also shows mercy. See, we find that again and again in the Bible. And then the fourth one, and this is really, for me, what I find the most interesting, is history and archaeology. Especially if you study other religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Eastern religions, they're often philosophies, but not grounded in historical events and people. There may have been thinkers, but not events that happened. Christianity, and this is so important to get, Christianity is not just good truth and good teaching. It is events that happened that changed everything. That, for example, Jesus came to earth. He lived a real life. He died on a Roman cross. Not one historian who's worth anything would doubt that. In fact, many non-Christians wrote about the controversy about Jesus Christ, who some people said was dead, some said was alive. See, you can go to the places. Now, there were critics, especially in the 18th, 19th century, who said, well, you know, a lot of the places we find in the Bible, we don't even know if they really exist. Many skeptics used as a prime example the Hittites that are mentioned in the Bible. Have any of you ever met a Hittite? No, have you ever eaten Hittite food? You know, looked at Hittite? No, we've never heard of Hittites. In fact, there was no evidence they existed. And therefore, some people said the Bible is not true. 1906, there was a major archaeological dig. And in that, and since they found much later, they found Hittite writing. And this is the ruins of a Hittite village and Hittite art. And in fact, you can get a PhD in Hittite studies today. And no one even believed the Hittites exist, but now you can get a PhD in Hittite studies. University of Chicago has done a 65-year project, many doctoral students on Hittite culture. My only question is, what do you do with a PhD in Hittite studies? You know, what do you do? And I mean, you know, I don't know. You're driving through Krispy Kreme and say, hey, thanks for the donuts. How did you come to work at Krispy Kreme? Well, I got a PhD in Hittite studies. but you see what I'm saying? There's incredible historical evidence again and again. King David, people thought he was an amalgam, not someone who really lived. But then they found evidence. Pontius Pilate. It's not a leap of faith, it's a step of faith. It really is. You don't need to check your brain at the door. In fact, I would say this, and I really mean this. If you carte blanche say, I think the Bible isn't true, I think you've checked your brain at the door. You at least have to engage with the fact that some real things happen. And now, if you believe God was involved in it, well, I do, you may not. But there's incredible evidence. See, why is this important? Some of you are like, well, you know, Ben, I believe the Bible. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. And you even learned the Bible song growing up. B-I-B-L-E. Any of you learned that song? Yeah, that's great. And some of you are like, what is this weird cult I just stepped into? But others of you are like, hey, Bible boy, I don't know if I really buy everything, but I'm willing to give it a try. See, even if you believe, people in your culture or in your workplace, they're not going to necessarily share your belief. And so it's important, as it says in the scripture, that you have a reason for the hope that is within you. Can you just come to know Jesus and have an incredible experience with God and have it change your life? Absolutely. Can God change you from the inside out without the scripture? He really can. God can do anything. But here's what I've noticed, and I've noticed a trend. A trend is one of two things, in one of two areas. One, there are those who worship the Bible, which is idolatry. That's not from God. That's a sin. And others who would say, it's just all about my experience and not about the scripture. See, it's really about both, because we want a faith that can sustain us. Now, in all of this, the greatest evidence for me personally is Jesus. Now, many people would say, I love Jesus. I love what he taught. I think Jesus is a good guy. Well, if you say yes to Jesus and you like Jesus, you're going to have to come to terms with the Bible. Because he quotes 22 times the Old Testament, and people who many would think are the most controversial, like a Noah or Jonah or Adam and Eve, he talks about them like they're real people. And so you can't really say, I accept Jesus and think he's a great teacher, and yet reject a big portion of his teaching. In fact, the central belief that God works through through the Scripture. He teaches us. We read in Matthew 4:4, Jesus answering his critics. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then again in John 17:17, your word is truth. Okay, now as I said, something can be true, but not impactful. My hope is that you have at least said, okay, now I have even firmer belief in why I can trust the Scriptures, but how do we let the Bible impact our lives? How can we be, like I mentioned earlier, those who I really admire, who have a great spiritual life, who take the Scripture seriously? I want to look at four ways. And by the way, number one, this is real Mensa Society stuff here. Start reading the Bible. Psalm 119:11, it says, I've hidden your word in my heart. Mark 12:24, Jesus says, are you not in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God? See, Jesus said, you got to know what the Scriptures say, and that'll be impactful. Well, how do we do that? I want to get very practical here. Choose a Bible. Choose a Bible. I have a resource list that I put in your program, and I would encourage you to get a New International Version. Maybe if you want something that's a little easier reading, the New Living Translation. Both are very true to the original text. So you choose a Bible. By the way, I bring a Bible up here every week, but I don't actually read a Bible like this anymore. I read it on my phone. And I'm gonna get to that in a moment. But then read the who, when, and why. Who, when, and why. You gotta put everything in context. I would encourage you to start in the Gospel of Luke reading the Bible. Now, for some of you, you might say, okay, that sounds sort of weird. You just said to read this book and start in the middle of it. Why would you do something like that? Do you not believe the first part of the book? No, that's not it at all. If you look at the Bible, there are four accounts of Jesus' life that make up most of the Bible and is the central theme of the Bible. So we want to start with the thesis, the theme, and so that's why I encourage you to start in the Gospel of Luke, read a chapter a day. A chapter a day keeps the pastor away, so I encourage you to at least read a chapter a day and then go through it a couple times and then move on. There are great Bible reading plans that you can get. And so let me actually move on to the web. We have a picture, a screenshot up here. You can go to the web. YouVersion is a free app you can get on your phone. Any of you have cell phones? Yeah, you'll see that there's a Bible there. There's Bible reading plans. There's all sorts of great things. I encourage every one of you to download that for free. It's free. There's no money to be made on it. I don't get a commission. You could start reading the Bible, maybe if you take the bus into work or you have some time during the day. They even have a listener's version of the Bible. You can just press it and listen to it. You cannot get any lazier than that. You really can't. So my encouragement is to give it a try. There's also resources I've listed there as well, because some of the context can be difficult. We're not experts in ancient culture. Now, you might start for you and you say, Ben, I'm not used to the Bible at all. Well, one, you come to church. We teach from the Bible. You'll learn a little bit. Then you can go to growth groups. You might pick one in particular that's studying the Scripture or that's going along with the weekend messages. Encourage you to do that. There's also some great apps for kids. There's the new Bible app for kids, which is great. Encourage you to get that for your kids. They can put it on their phone. I know that it's so spiritually uplifting for them to play Angry Birds all the time, but it might be good for them to get a hold of the Bible as well. We number two, use the Bible to help you know God. The Bible, the reason we read it is so that we'll know God and what He's like. We read in Proverbs 35, every word of God is flawless. Again, it's true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. And that leads to number three, let it guide your decisions. We all want to make good decisions. Any of you ever make a bad decision from time to time? Yeah, we all have. And so what do we need? We need a guide to make better decisions. If we keep on making the same decisions and expect a different result, they said that's by nature the definition of insanity. And so the Bible says, gives us directions to make really better decisions in your life. We read in Psalm 119:19, I'm a stranger on the earth. Do not hide your commands from me. God created the earth. God knows how things should operate. Proverbs 7:1-3. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guide my teachings as the apple of your eye. Put them on your fingers. Write them on the table of your heart. Well, okay, that's what the Bible does. It gives us direction. But let's dig a little bit deeper. How about when we're trying to re-engineer our heart and our life and even our hurts? You know me, I've said, I'm not against counseling. If you need counseling, some of us, we have chemical imbalances. I've said it before, God made us family and Prozac made us friends. Yeah. But there's gonna, if that is true though. The truth is, we need even more than that though. We need to know not only what I think about me and you think about me and what someone else thinks about me and what I should think about me, but what does God believe about me? Not only what do I believe about God, but what does God believe about me? It'll change your life in every way. It'll change. When you're tempted to go down a path to your darker side and you understand that you don't need to go there, you're going to find a way out. Where you have a hurt that's so deep, you just figure it's part of who you are, and you've even gotten it as part of your identity. God shows us another way. It says in Psalm 107:20, he sent out his word and healed them. Bill Hybels, who pastors a big church in Chicago, written a number of great books, he really has had an impact in the church in America. Though he was raised in a religious environment, but didn't really come to know Jesus personally until he was a teenager. He was speaking at a conference out in, I believe it was Michigan. He tells the story, and he was in this little town, and he realized he was about 10 miles away from the camp where God had really gotten a hold of his life. And so he thought, I need to go there. I need to go to that place. It was sort of holy ground for him. And so he, in this little town, he called the cab company. There was only one, and they wouldn't take him. They said, we only go 5 miles. That's it. And he tried to negotiate with them, and they said, no. He said, I really need to get there. It was getting late in the day. It was about 4 p.m. And finally, one of the people at the cab company said, hey, I know a guy who might be willing to take you, because there were no rental cars there. And so they called this guy up. He was asleep at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And the guy came in this ramshackle car, and he said to Bill, hey, I'll take you. And he told him how much he was going to pay him. He was excited. They got in the car. The car didn't have any gas in it. And so they went to a gas station. The guy puts in about $5, and Bill says, I'm paying for it. Put in some more. So he puts in 10. And the guy's just like beaming. He's like, this is more gas than I've had in a long time. And he said, just fill it up. And a big smile goes on his face. They fill up the car, and they drive to the camp. As they drive to the camp, Bill said he got out of the car and went to that place, was gone. Just said, hey, you just wait here. Was gone there about a half hour and spent a moment to thank God for what he had done in his life, how God had changed everything when Jesus Christ became front and center in his life. And so after that time of prayer, he comes back to the car, and the guy who drove him said, hey, what were you doing, dude? And he goes, you don't want to know. And he goes, no, what were you up to? He goes, you really want to know? He goes, yeah, I really want to know. And so he shared the story of how Jesus Christ got a hold of his life and brought hope and healing and a new direction, and it changed everything. And he asked Bill, he said, does God still do stuff like that? Would God do something like that for a loser like me? And Bill had the opportunity at that place to pray with him, to invite Jesus Christ into his life, and to start that new direction. See, the Bible is important, is an important book in history and in literature, I believe, in understanding God. You know why this is so important that we grab a hold of this? Because God wants to grab hold of your heart and your mind and transform your life. And until we allow him to speak his truth to us, and one of the ways he does it is through the scripture, we're going to always wander a little bit. That leads to number four, apply what you've learned. As we read the scripture, we read in Joshua 1:8, God is basically speaking to Joshua, who takes over for Moses as a leader of Israel. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Jesus says this, John 13:17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And James, a brother of Jesus, said this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. See, for some of us, here's where I think we're at. I think we're, I in general accept the Bible. I do accept Jesus. But man, to take that next step, there's areas where I've taken it, and there's areas where I'm holding back. And my encouragement to really let the scripture make an impact in your life is that you would let it challenge maybe some of the beliefs you've had, challenge some of the behaviors you've fallen into, but also direct you into that place where you'll start to live that life that Jesus promised, John 10:10, that you'll have life and have it to its fullest. For some of us, we have areas where we've been holding back a little bit, and God is calling us to take our next step. A friend of mine, someone who I met not too long after I got here, he had already been a Christ follower. He shared a little bit of his story of how he let God have more and more access to his life. And I think you'll find encouragement in it. Take a look at this.
You know, I had an interesting teenage experience growing up. We were kind of latchkey kids, and my parents got divorced when I was 14, and my sister and I kind of raised ourselves. You know, we were always raised to believe, even before, you know, I prayed and accepted Christ, and even afterward, you know, I was, I guess, God-fearing is the way to put it, but I just struggled with, you know, all these bad behaviors, just putting myself in the situation, and it was like being in the mud. I liked being in the mud when I was in the mud, but, you know, when I was done being in the mud, I was like, it was, just felt guilty and felt just continually like I was letting myself and others down. You know, you can't just say it, and you can't just, you know, believe it and leave it there. You have to actually change your life and change your behavior. And you have to say no to things that you used to say yes to. We've been going to Timberlake for several years, and we've been in small groups, and we're serving regularly, and we've gone through the financial class, and so we're doing all these regular things to make sure that we're, you know, our walk is trying to be as consistent as we can be. And the baptism piece for me was missing, but maybe it didn't have the mind share that it should have. And when my daughter came to me one day and asked, would I get baptized with her? The answer was obvious. It was yes. It wasn't even a moment of hesitation. For me, it wasn't about jumping up on another platform or jumping into another room. It was more about I'm, you know, that path with Christ is further solidified. And coming from a place where I historically, you know, over my life been just up and down and been a mess, and you know when I was younger, to me it's about making sure that that path and that walk is very solid.
And that's when it makes a real impact, is when we say, God, you have more access to my heart and to my life today than you did yesterday. And maybe for you, that's really what God wants to speak to you. You already believe the scriptures. You try to live by them. But now God has given you that nudge. Take that step. We talked about some very basic steps. Baptism, obviously, being one of them. We have a baptism in a couple weeks. About committing to a church. Doesn't have to be this church. It's not going to be a perfect church. But saying, you know, I'm going to commit to a community of people who are moving towards Jesus. Or connecting with others in a group. It could be a number of things. But that's when we let God's word become powerful, is when we apply it. And the good news is that God leads us in a direction of hope and peace. Although the steps can be scary, the product is amazing. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you that we can have hope in you. And God, that we have not only hope in you and what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ, but that you give us direction through the scriptures. God, we thank you that you didn't leave us rudderless without a guide. God, we thank you that you've spoken truth and given guidance through the pages of a book that are thousands of years old, but speak your truth to us today. And God, we don't want to let that book supplant you as number one in our life. But God, we want to take seriously how you teach us to live, what you tell us about you, what you tell us about us through the pages of Scripture. Lord Jesus, we want to give you access to our hearts and life, and more than we ever have. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ben, you know, I've really never come into a relationship with God. You're unsure of where you're at with Jesus. And so today would be your day where you would invite him in as a leader and Lord of your life. And if you say, hey, I'd like to take that step, then I encourage you to pray with me. You pray silently, I'll pray out loud. You'd pray something like this. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you gave your Son Jesus to pay the price for my sin and my failure when I couldn't do that on my own. And I need that forgiveness. And I also need your direction and guidance. And so I invite you to be the leader of my life. I know that you're God, but I invite you to be the God of my life. And God, I want to remain open to you wherever you're going to take me along the way. The scripture says when we invite him in, we can be sure that he's going to walk with us all the days of our life and that he prepares a home for us in heaven as well. Lord, whatever our step, help us to take that towards you. I thank you for my friends who've said yes to you today for the first time. And God, there are many of us. We just need to say yes to you again. We love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen.